Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. All praise is due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. وَبَعْثَ نَبِيِّينَ مُبَاشِرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ, and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ, His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ, to Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ, in His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, and He has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that our leader Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is His slave servant and His messenger. بَعَثُهُ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ, Allah commissioned Him, raised Him up from among the unlettered. رَسُولٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَعْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, raised Him up from among the unlettered, showing them how to follow the signs of Allah, and teaching them the book, purifying them, and teaching them the book and the wisdom, and drawing them out of the darkness into the light. وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. While before this, they were in open, obvious, and evident straying. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions ajma'in, all of them, wa ya ayyuha al-muslimun. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa ta'ala barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'da, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. An expression of this, the first to the fourth ayah of Surah Al-Rahman 55. The gracious, the most gracious, the merciful benefactor. Imam Muhammad translates Al-Rahman, the merciful benefactor. It is He who caused the Quran to be known. He formed the human being, formed al-insan, formed the civilized creature. Allamahu al-bayan, and caused him to be intelligent. Alhamdulillah, we have gone through a number of iterations of expressions of this set of verses, 1 through 4 of Surah Ar-Rahman, and we're still working on the third of them, as obviously, mashallah, and I know we know as Muslims that there are many, many layers, to put it lightly, of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals. We're only speaking to patterns that are, I would say, accessible, and accessible to some with a little help in seeing, and that's what we're trying to provide. So we go through each one. So Ar-Rahman, at this point, we're speaking of the grace and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all humanity, not just the Arabs, to all humanity. So this Ar-Rahman, this graciousness, these merciful benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought into the world are being addressed in this set of verses. So we speak of Ar-Rahman and the particular grace that we are focused on at this point is the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Quran in 21:107, it says, "A'udhu billah, wa ma arsalnaka ila rahmatin lil alamin," and we have not sent you but as a mercy to all the worlds. And the essence of that mercy, with the focus that we're giving it right now, the essence of that mercy to the worlds is the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is the core of the grace that's being spoken of in the frame that we're giving it right now. That Quran, it is the height of the graces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to al-insan, that is, to the human being, that human being that Allah, in the destiny and his will in creation, intends to be realized on the earth. So this is Ar-Rahman and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being sent as a mercy to all the worlds. Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an, allama al-Qur'an. The very fact that it follows after that, we're able to put that emphasis on it, that the Qur'an is the first and the highest and the primary of those graces, causing the Qur'an to be known. And mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, to relate it to the beginning of our lives as human beings, as revealed in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allama al-adam al-asma'a, allama adam al-asma'a kullaha. And he caused Adam to know the nature of all things. He caused Adam to know the nature of all things. Same kind of terminology is applied. Allama al-Quran, allama adam, allama al-Quran. He caused Adam to know the knowledge of the nature of all things. So equationally speaking, it is implied that what you also have in the Quran is the knowledge of the nature of all things. And that is what we have in the Quran. We have in the Quran the knowledge of the nature of all things. So now when we go back and look at Ar-Rahman, framing it in the sense that in the expression that the Quran is the height of those graces from Allah, allama adam al-asma'a kullaha, allama al-Quran. So equationally speaking, the Quran is the knowledge of the nature of all things. And so now when we go back and look at the verse, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin, Imam Muhammad rahimahullah, he also translates that part of the Al-Fatiha where we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rabbil Alameen. He says it's not just the Lord. Yusuf Ali, for example, gives it the expression وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَكَ, we have made you a mercy lil alameen, and he translates it as all creatures. All creatures. But at the base of that word alameen is ilm. Ilm. And when you talk about scholars, we call them alims. They say they are alims. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, it is, he's the Lord of the systems of knowledge. Which systems? All of them. All of them. So what is the Quran? What is the Quran? The Quran is a book that contains all systems of knowledge. All systems of knowledge are in the Quran. So among his top and the uppermost graces is Ar-Rahman Allama Al-Quran. It's like if we understand what Allah has done to and for the world, then that's like AAA, number one, blessing. And then what follows right after that in the next verse, even though we're going to go back and spend more time with the second part of it, but to see the flow of it, Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Quran, now seeing the Quran as the uppermost of Allah's graces to the human being, to the worlds of knowledge, and if man needs anything, he needs knowledge. So Allah reveals the knowledge of the nature of all things in the form of a book. For those who grasp it, the next thing comes. خلق الإنسان. خلق الإنسان. If you grasp the systems of knowledge that are embodied in the Quran, you can build civilization. You can have a civilized world. And that's what Al-Insan speaks more to than just, we say created man, the limited perspective that we have of that word, the limited reaction that we have to that word is man. One thought, one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. And we think about the anatomical, biological, concrete man. But we remind that when you look at that word, al-insan, and then take a little poetic license and say, well, don't look at the transliteration as Arabic. Look at it as a compound word from two English words. Which two English words? The inside man. Inside man. Put them together. Insan. So who is that is being grown and developed and fed by this grace from Allah, the Quran? Not only is he being fed by it, he's actually being created by it. Because words make people, somebody said. So if you get the best words, what do you get? You get the best people. And see how it just goes on from there. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. The human being is made in the most excellent mold and structure. How is he to be made in the most excellent mode of structure? With the best words. Well, what is the best word? The best words are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is all this winds back to? Ar-Rahman. Allah, that is his grace. Now, having said that, then we have to ask ourselves, how much attention am I paying to that revelation? How much attention am I paying? How much attention do I give to that revelation? And then if you ask yourself, okay, I don't give that much attention to that revelation, then you have to ask yourself, are you valuing the revelation according to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended? Your answer to that will tell us what we should be doing, inshallah. So now, Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an, causing the Qur'an to be known. So everything that we say, inshallah, up to the end of whatever we have to say today will all be inside the boundaries of allama al-Qur'an. That is, he caused the Qur'an to be known. He caused the Quran to be known to who? He caused the Quran to be known to Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He didn't cause the Quran to be known to the Prophet. He caused the Quran to be known to Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And when he caused the Quran to be known to Muhammad ibn Abdullah, that was the, you know, I'm thinking is the best way to say it, is that was the beginning of the end, or the end of the beginning. And it's probably both, right? The end of the beginning, which beginning? When he created Adam, our essence, our reality, and then 124,000 prophets and messengers. Now here, Muhammad ibn Abdullah receives the Quran, and that's the end of that beginning. That's the end of that beginning, but it also is the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end of what? Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, that's the beginning. The beginning of what? Is the beginning of the last revelation. The last, this is it. When this revelation is complete, when the last words that Allah intends to be bound as the Quran, when that ends, that's the end of revelation in that history. So when it came to Muhammad, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, that was the beginning of the end. It was also the end of the beginning. We should really have value for that. The definition of a sentence, all of us learned a very long time ago, what is the simple definition of a sentence? What is a sentence? A sentence is a complete thought. Sentence is a complete thought. All right? Well, how do you know that you're at the end of a sentence? You have to have punctuation. Until you understand how that sentence is punctuated, you don't even know how to read the sentence. Well, the words of Allah, let's put them in a string of 124,000 words. 124,000 words, 124,000 prophets bringing the word and words from Allah. So there's a sentence that's 124,000 words long. But you still can't read it correctly until you know how it's punctuated. The Quran is the punctuation of all revelation. The Quran is the punctuation of all revelation. So you can line up a sentence of however long, you really don't know how to read any word in that sentence until it's punctuated. When it's punctuated, say, oh, okay, well, this how, it really should be read as though it's a question or whatever the case may be. I'm not going to go all the way through all that. The point is that when you get the punctuation, then you can go back and see what every other thing, which means what? All the previous revelations, the Quran will help you understand all previous revelations. Now, how special is that? How special is that? And you have those people who have struggled for centuries to try to understand parts of their own revelation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the answer in the Quran and in the life model example and words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ar-Rahman allama al-Quran. He caused that Quran to be known to Muhammad ibn Abdullah. The Prophet was questioned. He said, Messenger of Allah, when was prophethood established for you? He said, when Adam was between soul and body, when he was between being just a soul, a nafs, without a body, before he even came into a body, that's Adam, not Muhammad ibn Abdullah, that's a given. But before Adam got a body, prophethood, was established for the prophet. So even before the revelation began to human beings at all, the prophet was always in Allah's plan, in Allah's will. And then after his birth, the life that he lived also is a part of the mission of God, the plan of God. MashaAllah, you can still look at that Adam. You can look at that story of Adam or that picture of Adam in that same frame, and you get more, which is to say that inni, when Allah said to the angels, inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa, I am making in the earth a khalifa. God said, it is not saying I'm gonna, because when you understand the Arabic, there are particles, there are particle huruf, letters, etc., that tell you that this imperfect tense verb is speaking to something in the future. He didn't say sa, which is one of those particles. He said, inni ja'ilu fil ard. Right now, I am making in the earth a khalifa. Right? So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in that plan. Muhammad was in the making. All right? And the fact that his preparation is a point where I have to follow the, I'll explain maybe later. The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, in my bloodline, there was no fornication or adultery. In my bloodline, there was no fornication or adultery. So it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that kept the whole bloodline pure. So no matter, so wherever you can trace Muhammad ibn Abdullah's life back to, ancestry.com or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, wherever you trace it back to, no fornication, no adultery, no fornication, no adultery, no fornication, no adultery, no fornication, no adultery, all the way up to his mother and his father. No fornication, no adultery. In the whole line. You know, that's got to be rare. Alhamdulillah, maybe it's not funny, I don't know. But, you know, it's just wonderful. So the idea is to understand that Allah, from the inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa, I am, my process is at work right now to make a khalifa in the earth. That's what he's telling the angels then. When Adam was between soul and body, he was telling, they hadn't been made yet. Adam had not been formed yet. The Adam that we read about in traditions, in Quran, it said, he hadn't been formed yet. Allah said, this is what I'm doing. All right? And Muhammad was already in that plan. And history and all the history involved with, whatever, you can call it geology, cosmology, the existence of the material world, et cetera. Inside of all that process was Muhammad, ultimately to come in finality of Allah's will, when that vessel arrives and stands up in an anatomical form, that's Allah's vessel. To whom allama al-Qur'an. He created the vessel, protected the vessel, kept it pure, stood it up on the earth, and then اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Can you see Muhammad as the pure product of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let me put a cultural vernacular on it. A little humorous, but this is language that we speak in the culture. Imagine Allah say, I did that. Have you heard anybody say, I did that? It's like, yeah, I did that. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, he can be read and say, I did that. So I know we already understand it, but now put that frame on it and say it again. Not now, but just say it again. Muhammad ibn Abdullah is Allah's creation. Muhammad ibn Abdullah is Allah's creation. I made him for my specific purpose. And his purpose is to be the receptacle, the walking model of the last of my words of revelation that I will send to human beings. Some ideas of how Allah protected him during his young life. One of them is in his personal life history, Allah preserved Muhammad ibn Abdullah's original nature for the purposes that we just mentioned, for the purpose of being a fit vessel for the last revelation. His biography, the Prophet Sirah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reveals that before he was a prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah was employed, like all other young men of his age, in tending the sheep and the goats of Mecca on the neighboring hillsides and valleys. On one occasion, when he was engaged in his duties in the company of a lad of the Quraysh, he asked him to look after his flock so that he could go into Mecca, that's Muhammad, that he could go into Mecca and divert himself there, as other youth did to divert themselves at night. But no sooner had he reached the precinct of the city than a marriage feast engaged his attention, and he soon fell asleep. On another occasion, he again fell asleep on his way to the city until morning. In this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from the temptations, and he never again sought after such diversions. See, that purity became one of the credentials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established for Muhammad ibn Abdullah in his first life. For 40 years, that purity was maintained, and for the purpose there to be the vessel for the truth of the revelation and a credential for the truth of the revelation that he would receive. As we've said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed that purity by the statement that in my bloodline there's no fornication or adultery. And that purity became the credentials that Allah established in his personal history in order for it to support the truth of the revelation when he received it. So Muhammad ibn Abdullah had a very high credit rating. He had triple A credit with the society. And when we read a portion, well, we read the whole presentation as recorded in the report of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, that he cited to the Najash with regard to the distinction of Muhammad. Just one portion of it we'll repeat here, where he said, "We knew no law but that of the strong." When Allah raised among us, and now I can say did, Allah raised among us a man of whose birth, truthfulness, honesty, and purity we were aware. We all knew him as El-Amin. We all knew him as being trustworthy, honest, truthful. He had that credential with us. So when he came to us, we had no doubts about him because his trustworthiness is well established. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats this in the Quran, Surah Yunus, that is Surah 10, Ayah 16. The Prophet himself says, Allah says to Muhammad to say, if Allah had so willed, I would not have rehearsed it to you, nor would he have made it known to you. A whole lifetime before this have I lived amongst you. Will you not then understand? Alhamdulillah. So the Prophet is saying, listen, you know me, as he said in the beginning of the revelation itself. You know me. I wouldn't be telling you this if Allah had not willed it so. Because my life has already been to you an open book. My life has been an open book to you. You know me. And you know my trustworthiness is established. Had it been otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have caused it to be that way. So that is علم القرآن, Allah causing it to be known, particularly to Muhammad ibn Abdullah. In fact, there was no other vessel that would have been fit or suited or who was created for that purpose. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us the indisputable vessel for his work. Allah's work, you know, it is perfect. Not just, I was about to say, it's got to be perfect. No, his work is perfect. And so Allah, I'm doing this. Allah, I'm doing this, and I'm doing everything required for the perfection of what my will is in the world. Right? And the last revelation that came to the Prophet, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَةً وَرَدِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامِ الدِّينِ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. So Allah said, the perfect work is mine. And also in, and even while the Quran was being revealed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, there were occasions where he would try to exert himself. And Allah said, no, don't move your tongue hastily. Don't worry about it. This is mine. I'm the one who's revealing it. I'm the one that's spreading it. And I'm the one that's going to protect it. You just be the vessel. That's what we have in Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And Muhammad, of course, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So revealing the Quran to Muhammad, علم القرآن, revealing the Quran to Muhammad ibn Abdullah is a part of the revelation itself. Because Allah reserved his original nature in order that he would be a pure vessel for the last revelation. Now, brothers and sisters, those two facts alone justify seeing Muhammad ibn Abdullah as the answer to what the Quran speaks of with regard to Mary and Jesus as a sign. I'm going to go slow for you now. Go ahead, take a deep breath, and we'll go, inshallah. In the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, the chapter of the believers, ayah 50, it begins, أعوذ بالله, وَجَعَلْنَا بْنَا مَرْيَمْ وَأُمَّهُ آيَاتٍ. And we made the son of Mary and his mother as a sign. That's plain from Allah. We made the son of Mary and his mother a sign. Allahu Akbar. A lot of work can be done with that. Right? But take these two facts, the sustained purity of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sustained from the beginning of his genetic line all the way to Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Take that and then Allah sending him the Quran. So you take his purity, his divine, his sacred purity. When I say divine, I mean by Allah's will and design, the way he sustained that purity. And the words, as we begin in the opening, ba'athahu fil ummiyin, also has critical relevance. Ba'athahu fil ummiyin, he commissioned him from among the ummiyin. Some translators say the unlettered, some say the ignorant, or what have you. But is in there. Someone who is true to their original nature. Someone who is true to the foundation of their original creation. Ummiyin. So that prophet comes with the pure nature. So he comes from the pure nature, and then Allah reveals upon that pure nature his truth. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. He's revealing something. There is no crookedness in it. Nothing twisted, nothing wrong, nothing deceptive, nothing confusing. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ For the muttaqeen. Now, it can be confusing to the people who are not mutaqi, those who are not sincere to Allah. None shall touch it but to purify, the Quran says. So those who are of impure intention, motivation, etc., no, they won't get it. They won't see it. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being such, then he becomes the revelation. I need to mention one more thing just in case that's a little too far to reach. But I'm saying it shouldn't be. Simply stated, Allah said, the son of Mary and his mother are a sign. How much more explicit can it be? It's like, if a sign points to something else, you get on the highway and you go get on the, whatever, the highway, and then you see a sign, say Los Angeles, 423 miles. It's like, oh man, great, I'm in Los Angeles. No. You are reading a sign that tells you how far you have to go to get to Los Angeles. Stop sign tells you what to do. You don't just look at the stop sign in East Oakland, they do, but you know, they look, if they look at it, they keep going, right? No, the sign is telling you something to do. Jesus and his mother's a sign. Question. Of what? Of what? I really want you to think about it. Sometimes we don't understand how unconsciously somebody else has framed our way of seeing. And as such, they frame our way of reading. So there's something right in front, physically right in front of our eyes. But because of the psychological condition we've been put in, we don't even see it. Some of you, if you never seen it, I hope, I believe some of you have seen that whole basketball, the gorilla suit and the basketball, the gorilla and the basketball. I don't know, just look it up and you'll find it. Spoiler alert, I'm not really trying to kill it for you, but the point is we got to say this and move on. They demonstrate, and if you come to it purely, if you experience it purely without a heads up, then you say, oh, you will actually experience what it's set up to do. So I'm going to have to go ahead and kill it so we can finish this khutbah. Listen, it shows people in black shirts, people in white shirts, and they're passing a basketball. They're passing a basketball. And so the way it starts, they tell you, count how many times the people in the white shirts pass the basketball. Count how many times the people in the white shirts pass the basketball. So you set, okay, let me see. And so the people are, they're going to globetrotters. You understand what I'm saying? They're just going between each other, passing ball. So you got the black shirts going between the white shirts. And you're trying to see when the ball gets into a white shirt hand. Blah, blah, blah. So you watch, and then they ask you, how many times? Boom, 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 boom. So people give their answers. Then they ask the question, did you see the gorilla? Did you see the gorilla go across the floor? And then, what gorilla? What gorilla? Nobody saw the gorilla. And then they replay the actual thing, what actually happened. And the gorilla come in. He walked into the middle of these people. He like moonwalks and something else, and then goes off the screen. And the majority of the people looking at that did not see the gorilla. The vast majority did not see the gorilla. Why? because you were conditioned not to look for a gorilla. You were told what to look for, so you were under the spell of the instruction, and so therefore your perception, though physically it was right in your face, mentally it wasn't even there. This is what has happened to the majority and especially new Muslims. Somebody else have brought their frames to you that they inherited from someone else, valid though they may be, but they have restricted your perception, only see what our frame shows you. And when you subscribe to that, then that means that you are blind to any other way of seeing it. So let's go back and conclude this question. So when Allah says that he made the son of Mary and his mother a sign, my question is, a sign of what? You read it and just keep reading. You don't stop there. You know, like East Oakland drivers, man. It's like, no, you're supposed to stop at the sign, read it, and do what it says. So we're offering at this moment, as we conclude this portion of the khutbah, we're offering, Isa and Mary are a sign of Muhammad ibn Abdullah receiving the Quran. Muhammad is the Mary with his pure original nature that was prepared and set apart in order to receive the Spirit and the Word of God. And that's what happened. So the return of Christ is who? It's the Quran. The Quran is the return of Christ. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Now, while I really believe it or not, I'm mentioning that as a marginal note, as a footnote, in a manner of speaking, to what we're saying, because it's so rich and important for that. Many of you have heard us address that, because when you want to, because the way of reasoning, how do you reason with that once you get started, is the first thing that you're going to do naturally is try to match up part for part. Okay, Muhammad, Mary. Oh, wait. Mary is a woman. How Muhammad going to be a woman? I don't know. He started tripping now. Right now, you know, not this month. Next month, this the wrong month to be talking like that. Some of y'all know what I'm saying, but listen. So, mashallah. So, but see, it is a critical thing. Believe it, mashallah. I know you trust me. So we just have a tendency sometimes to say, believe it or not, okay? I'm trying to get to Bayan, Alamahul Bayan, as we were trying to. We're going to keep walking on the journey. Al-Bayan taught him speech and intelligence, as it said, right? That's where we want to go. Now, I have to make this point. For you to really, inshallah, not miss the benefit if it's in your heart to get the benefit. How does Mary become Muhammad in that reading without violating something, whatever, crucial, abstract thought? You need to. If you, especially if you feel some little, go do some research on human language and abstract thought. Just do that. Just Google human language, abstract thought. The role of language, abstract thought. What is that? Look it up. Because once you understand that, then you understand that it is human language. علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. This البيان is abstract thought. But abstract thought is possible only for human beings because it is only the human being that has the capacity for abstract thought. But as well as we do in with language, and we've done beautiful things, Al-Insan civilization has been built based on this power that we have as human beings. And as powerful as our common human language is and human language across the globe, the language that Allah reveals in the Quran is superior to human language. The words of the Quran are not the words of man. The words of the Quran are the words of Allah. I say this to appreciate it. That book is from the mind of God. I'm just saying it that way, just a way of understanding. God doesn't have any body. But what he revealed, it was not in the quote-unquote mind of man to express, say, know, understand. But because of the nature of human language, when Allah reveals the Quran, now that human language that's used to chewing on things in his environment, he's been given something else to chew on now. God's saying, you've been chewing for a few million years now. Now chew on this. Put this in your brain. Put this in your machinery of mind and see what comes out. You may find the Renaissance comes out, civilization, so many other things. All right. So relative to a spam call just calling, distracting me. So just understand it. Oh, Mary. Okay, that's what we're talking about. The word that Quran comes from, which is also the word that Iqra comes from, is also the same word that Qaf, Ra, Hamza. Quru, it means the woman's cycle. It means the woman's cycle. So the same word from which we get Quran. It's not a wrestling between ya and aleph and this or that. No, that word Quran is rooted in the same word. It's on the same tree that the word for a woman's cycle is in Lughat al-Arabiya. Now that should be enough to get you from Muhammad to Mary. And if that's not enough, then read the story of Mary where she was set apart. She was taken out of the main population and isolated. Like Muhammad going into the cave. He was set apart in his purity. And Allah fed him there, just like Mary was fed when she was separated from the rest. And the creation-supported logic of this as well is, get whatever, Wikipedia, whoever else. Let me see what my time is. Okay, we got 2-3 minutes. Cross-section of the woman's reproductive organ. Cross, you're looking at it from the front. So you have the birth canal, you have, quote, we'll call it the uterus, and then you have the fallopian tubes. The sperm goes up into the birth canal, and then it finds its way up into the fallopian tubes, which is where the egg is. And the successful sperm fertilizes the egg just there outside the fallopian tube. Now it's fertilized. What happens then? The fertilized egg comes down out of that fallopian tube area, and then it attaches itself to the uterine wall. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. That's the alaq. It's attached to the side, and then what happens? A sheath of blood wraps over that fertilized egg attached to the womb, and then the womb grows. The verse that is said, we have difference of opinion, but mashallah, the verse that is said to be revealed after that, O thou wrapped on. It's either Muzammil or Mudakhir. It's not in my head right now. Excuse me. It's either Muzammil or Mudakhir. Muzammil? MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. So, O thou wrapped on, arise and mourn. Isn't that what happens with a pregnancy? If you didn't see it at 2 months and you didn't see it at 2.5 months, you start seeing it at 3 months. You sure gonna see it 4 months. Something's coming. Arise and warn. So the feminine aspect that gives us Muhammad in abstract language is that he was the passive receiving what Allah sent, and he was impregnated by it. And he was the warner, is the warner to the world. And he gave birth to an entirely new community. And his life itself is actually the word made flesh. So, again, these two facts, Muhammad's purity and his receiving the Quran, they are the fulfillment of Mary and Jesus as a sign. So really, I can't show you how much Bible is just waiting in the wings for what we're saying here. The point is that some of us may be in our souls and not knowing it since we were raised as Christians, and so many Christians in the world at large, they're waiting for Jesus Christ to return physically, and yes, some Muslims waiting for, many Muslims, I should say, not just some Muslims, waiting for Jesus physically, bodily, literally, concretely, to come down on earth somewhere to do what he's supposed to do, according to the way they read it. When they fail to recognize Jesus Christ is already here in the book. That is the spirit and the word from God. This is the definition of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So I'll leave you with this. Those of you somewhere, maybe in your spirit, is telling you, I need to look at that a little more. Just read John of the Bible. Read Jesus, John, in the Bible. And look what a different mind. Look with a different mind, and it's not difficult, mashallah, I believe, for the sincere, not difficult at all to see that the line that was broken from the 124,000 messengers that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam came to rejoin and reconnect is, and what he was pointing to is realized in Muhammad. Realized in the Quran, And if we accept the Quran as the actual, you might feel like I don't need to suggest that to Muslims, but I do. As the actual word from the Creator, words that He decided to give to the world, whom Muhammad was just the vehicle. God is, I got to get my word to you somehow. Here, I have Muhammad. Muhammad, here, take this, give it. Don't add nothing, don't do it. I got you locked down. I was like, just give them that. And we still have that book with us right now. And we have to ask ourselves, but what are we doing with it? رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ أَلَا هُوَ مَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. All I will thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance and protection. We thank you for your generosity. We thank you for your merciful benefits. We thank you for enlightenment. We thank you for sight. Oh Allah, purify us in our vision. Oh Allah, save us from false perceptions. Oh Allah, bless us to be free from anything that limits our ability to grasp and understand and apply what it is that you have revealed. Oh Allah, if there are any doubts in our hearts for the power, the value, the strength that you have given us in the Quran, oh Allah, remove that from us. Remove from us any hesitation. Remove from us any laziness. Remove from us any doubt and unwillingness to exert ourselves in order to become closer and closer to what you have revealed to us. We know that this is your final revelation to the human being. Oh Allah, make us among the few who seek out its best understanding. Make us among the few who seek to apply that understanding, and make us among the few who work to build the world that you revealed for its creation. We beg this of you only for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akim as-salat. Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله استوى استقيم يا عمكم الله make our wills straight and even leave no space between us so سبحان الله we guard the space of course we know that our souls are bigger than the space that our bodies occupy but respect the physical distancing to the best of your ability mashallah. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألحاكم تكاثر حتى زرتم المكابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترعون الجحيم ثم لترعونها عين اليقين ثم لا تسألون يومئذ عن النعيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قال وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولا سوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فأوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. ذكر الله سبحان الله. الحمد لله. الله أكبر. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العظيم. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تقبل الله. بسم الله. May Allah accept the promise. Alright, brothers and sisters, you don't have to stay for the announcements. You can't have conversations on the floor. Take conversations outside if you want to make sunnahs. While we are making the announcements, then of course you're free to do so. but we separated the announcements from the portion of the prayer so as to keep it whole. Let's put it like that. So a couple of announcements. the NEST summer program, the NEST summer social calendar has been set through August 12th. August 12th, 2021. So this you can reach mfhspeters@gmail.com and get the details of that calendar. All the previous programs, which most of you are aware of, are in place. So again, reach out to mfhspeters. That's Dr. Hanifa Peters regarding all NNASH program, mfhspeters@gmail.com. Also, the beginning Arabic text with Zarina El-Amin Majid, you can reach her at 510-798-8970, 510-798-8970. There should be a lot of people in this class. This is it. Zalik al-Kitab. This is the book. You have to get to it. So get that. So if you're beginning then go ahead, reach out to Zarina, 510-798-8970. Birthday greetings to Camila Mahasin Shuaib, the 21st, and also Najwa Sabri, the 22nd, alhamdulillah. Also, men's calendar, men's group, fourth Saturday, which is tomorrow, the 26th, your conference call is on for them. And also July 3rd, which is coming up next Saturday, Masjid Al-Waratheen Vendor Fair and Food Fest. That's going to be from 10 to 6. Vendors included are MD Enterprises, Nisa Bismillah, Papa's Pies, Khalila Mohammed, Grand This and That, New and Used Treasures, Zainab's Vegan Delight, Love is Always the Subject, Ibrahim and Rania Islam, Evolving Ahmed, All Iman Productions, and the Melanin Gang and New Africa Kitchen. There are vending spaces available. You can contact Yolanda at 510-504-2672. 510-504-2672. Alhamdulillah. So that's going to be next Saturday. Graduate Armani Clifton Jamil, Edwards, is that his whole name? Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. he's being promoted to the first grade in Stockton. Allahu Akbar. May Allah bless him with a long and successful academic journey as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.